mean, you know, obviously, time is going to run out sooner than later for him in his career.
Certainly, you know, he's probably near the back part of his career than he is the front part, just because of age. I mean, I get that, but you know, he's been very durable. You know, we can all talk about quarterbacks or point to quarterbacks that even that I've worked with that have had a hard time staying on the field. Eli stayed on the field, which your availability is huge when we're talking about a player. And so that just doesn't happen. He takes very good care of himself. You know, he lives a clean life. You know, he works out. He stays fit throughout the season. And I'm sure that's part of it.
What did you see on the film from him last season?
I saw some good play, you know, I think, and we've spoken about this. You know, there's some plays on there that can happen, you know, and then there's a lot of good quarterback play on there, you know, and I think all things New York Football Giants, you know, the guys that are going to be here that were here a year ago got to play better, and we're going to add some pieces that we think will help us, and I think Eli's no different.
Those bad plays, the things that can't happen, how much of that was related to protection in front of him? It looked a lot of times like the protection was breaking down because he's making quicker decisions than he wanted.
You know, all quarterbacks play behind lines that block extremely well for him, and then all quarterbacks, you know, play or are involved in plays where guys, you know, they spring a leak and guys are running free. So that's part of it. You know, I think 3-13, we got to own it. You know, and we're going to move on from there.
You, without talking football, what do you know more about Davis Webb than you did?
Yes, same thing. You know, he and Eli are kind of like this, walking around the building. When I look through the way, you know, you see that they're in their training, and Eli and Davis have a great relationship. So I'm certain that they're probably talking ball. But no, I went back. As I was watching this year's quarterbacks, I went back and watched his college film to compare him to the guys coming out this year. And I went back and revisited my notes from doing them a year ago. And we had him rated highly. You know, the unfortunate thing for me is that there's just not a lot of him playing football in a Giants helmet, which would have been a good thing for me to see moving forward. And so that is what it is, but I'm looking forward to working with him for sure.
But you also haven't seen any of these quarterback prospects in a Giants helmet or any NFL helmet either.
Right, and that's why it's important to compare the college film to college film, and that's certainly why I did that.
Do you take anything from the fact that he has spent a year in the NFL not playing, but you know, with Eli,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Does that give him a leg up on just a rookie in some ways?
In a lot of ways. There's no substitute for experience. And I think even though he was here and didn't play a bunch, he became experienced in ways that you can't if you haven't been here.
Did you go back and watch practice films last year?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get anything from that when he's running most of the team?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What did you get from that?
You can see him throw the ball, you know, and I understand how scout teams are schemed up, but you can see him throw the ball, you can see him move around. You can see him execute under center in the shotgun. You can see him doing the things that a quarterback has to do. You know, certainly when you coach a quarterback, something good or bad happens, the first thing you ask them is, okay, what did you see? What were you thinking? Can't get that piece from him. But, you know, at some point here, in a couple of weeks, I will.
How much is your projection of what he will be affecting on kind of what you guys are doing in the draft?
Well, it factors in. You know, I think I've got high hopes for him. You know, being a productive player in this league. And so it's a little bit of an unknown. The advantage we will have, though, is, you know, we'll have 2 weeks of training where we can't go on the field. It's just in the meeting room. And then we're going to get that extra mini camp, which will be right up to the draft. So it'll be a great way for Davis to sort of showcase what he can do. So
kind of his throat. Like,
I'm leading you down a road here.
Fort mini camp.
I'm just trying to help Pat.
Yeah. Pat, do you think number two overall is too high to take a running back?
I don't think number two overall is too high to take any player that warrants that pick. I'm sure you're asking about a particular running back, and I don't think so, no.
First one here, so if you were asked about the mini camp you're going to have draft week.
Yeah.
You were asked about that, I'm sorry.
No, you were perfect.
What's the kind of method to that timing in particular?
Yeah, it's just how the score. It's just how the schedule falls. And as a new head coach, I had a couple of choices. I could have started April 2nd, and then somewhere in there, I would have had to give the players a week off as a new head coach. What I chose to do was start April 9th and then go straight through. And so the way the schedule falls, then I'll have 2 weeks of training where we can meet with the players, but they don't go on the field. And then that third week, as we start to get into phase two, that's just the extra mini camp that a new coach is afforded. And so that's where it fits in the schedule. So that's the choice. There really isn't much flexibility and wiggle room in the off-season training schedule, but that it just so happens though that we're gonna finish that 3-day camp on Thursday prior to the draft.
So just, I mean, that camp's gonna end and you're gonna go right into the war room. And
right.
Can Davis change your mind about a pick in those practices?
I think we're gonna take in any information we can all the way up to that time we're on the clock, really. So,
will you craft that mini camp differently around him based on that?
No, you know, we don't have a full 90-man roster, and so he's going to get a lot of reps, and he probably would anyways. So, you know, I don't want to make this sound like it's a showcase for Davis Webb, but you know, as a guy that we're interested in seeing, he's certainly going to get his fair share of the reps.
So you can't call it a pro day? It's not his pro day?
Technically, it's not his pro day, no.
Speaking of the pro days,
yeah.
With in L.A., with Darnold, with Rosen, right. Allen, what do you get out of those as a coach that maybe you didn't get out of the combine, seeing them throughout the combine or the interviews? What did you get out of pro day specifically?
Well, it's a one-on-one setting. So typically when you go to a pro day like we did, you go to town, you meet with them, take them to dinner. You get to know them. Not much different than when I'm sitting down getting to know Odell. You know, you talk to him, you try to figure out what makes him tick. You're allowed to talk football, so you put him through the paces, you know, see how well he can learn, see if he's a fast blinker, you know, kind of gauge how much football knowledge he has, and then whether he can learn. You know, I think that's sort of what you try to do. And then anytime you're talking about a quarterback, you need to see him throw in person. If I were a college head coach, I would never offer a quarterback a scholarship unless I saw him throw in person. And I think that's the same. You know, that's why the combine's important. That's why these exposures in their pro day are important. You see him throw. You can see and feel the velocity. You can see in the accuracy. A lot of the things you can see on tape, but yet you have to do it in person. And so that's the advantage of doing this.
Will you bring in like those caliber guys for top 30 visits,
yeah,
or private workouts, or is that for more under the radar guys?
No, I think, you know, we'll bring in guys all along the draft spectrum, so to speak. And then that's important so that those guys get a chance to meet the other people in our organization that are obviously going to be part of the decision making whether we draft that player or not.
You talked before about thinking about a generational quarterback in this draft. Whether you take one or not, from what you've seen of these guys, is there a generational quarterback in this draft?
Time will tell. Time will tell. But these are all very talented guys that they have a chance to be really, really good players.
You mentioned Allen. What do you know? You met him and watched Darnold and Rosen. What do you think of those guys?
No, I think when you talk about those players, they're all in the same category right now. You know, and, I'm not going to sit here and list them. I have a list in, you know, an order in my mind, but you got to let me save a little bit for the, you know.
For what?
Did you and Dave have the same order?
Dave and I have talked, yeah.
Pat, what do you think of Saquon Barkley? You know, people compared him to Barry Sanders,
yeah,
the way he can move, and
wow, that's
how unusually strong he is.
Right.
I mean, do you think, like the way that Odell is a game breaker, do you think Saquon is that level of a game breaker?
Well, he's equally impressive as the court to the, he's impressive like the quarterbacks we've just talked about. But, yeah, I don't, you know, when you watch his tape, you don't see anything he can't do. You know, as a running back, certainly he's got to do the obvious, be able to run the ball and secure the ball, and he's done that. and put the ball in the end zone, which he's done. He's really a pretty good pass protector, you know, in terms of protecting the quarterback. That's an important piece. And then he can catch the football as well. So he can do everything you're looking for in a running back. And then he's a terrific human being as well, which we got to spend some time at the combine. Our people have been to see him. And, you know, I'm certainly going to get to know more about him as we go as well.
You have said, I guess, previously that, you know, when you came, you know, when you went to, you know, combines and the standard offense coordinator, you're looking at the offensive guys. You know, now you're a head coach, and when you're a head coach, you got to look at everything.
Sure.
But how much, when you see a Barkley, when you see a quarterback, when you see an offensive lineman, and you kind of, you know, you're an offensive guy, and you have to resist the temptation to say, well, that guy can really help us versus the defensive guy, which you also know can help you, but like I said,
it's a really good question, even better answer you gave. No, my reaction is, pick the offensive guy, but I do realize the importance of playing defense as well, so yeah, I get that. It's and this is a collaboration, yeah. Certainly. So, and we understand, you know, it's a little easier to kind of look at the roster as a whole than you think. You know, if you look up on the roster and you know you don't have a player, you can't even line up in practice. Then you got to get a guy. So.
We asked about taking a running back at two. A lot of people have Quentin Nelson in that like 2-3 range, which would be really high for a guard compared to other drafts. Can you compare him to other offensive linemen in pass drafts? Is he as good an offensive lineman as you've seen prospect wise in however many
years? Yeah, no, he's an outstanding player. They do a good job at Notre Dame developing their offensive linemen. He's a local guy of sorts. That really shouldn't matter, but the fact that he is local, we've had a couple exposures with him, and he's wired the right way to play the position, and we like him a great deal.
What's your conversation like with Flowers?
I've actually had a couple of them, and then the one that we've all reported was the one just after we signed Nate. It's been good. You know, I expressed to him that, you know, I knew he was a little bit hurt and he played all year. I think that's an important piece. You know, I kind of embraced him by saying I think he's a tough guy, you know, but I also told him that, you know, we brought in a guy that's going to play left tackle and we want him to move over to right and compete to be a player there. And that we're hopeful that he's going to be one of our best five. You know, I think, you know, you add pieces to the offensive line, and then they got to go out there and play together. You know, I keep going back to the Vikings because that's my most recent experience. But we brought in Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers, and by the end of it, with the idea they were both going to play tackle, by the end of it, Remmers was playing guard. You know, but he was one of the best five, and that helped us win 14 games. So so that was sort of the conversation, or that's kind of the path that went down. And because it was on the phone, you know, it was respectful, and he understood and told me he looked forward to getting back to work.
It's been tough not talking football during that conversation.
Right. Yeah.
How hard of a transition is that?
Well, it'd be like you guys, you know, writing stories, but not using words, you know? I mean, think about it. You know? Right? I mean, it's so as a, you know, that's what we're there to do, right, is coach ball, and we have kind of like a dead period for it, you know?
Why is talking about him moving to the right not categorized as talking football?
Oh, you're going to try to get me fined him?
No, I'm asking.
No, I just, that I didn't talk about how to play right tackle, right?
When he came out, a lot of people thought he might have been a better fit at right tackle. Did you see that? Is there a big difference in your opinion? And obviously, the left tackle.
Yeah, there is a big difference. You know, the right tackle, left tackle thing in itself, you got to protect both edges. You know, and it comes down to the matchups of the rushers a lot of times. There are some guys that their whole careers have played on the right or the left, so a move like that would be difficult. But most often, because these guys just were not born starters, they've had to move around up front, and we're very confident that he'll have success over there.
He has not moved around, right? I mean, he's been a big guy who started to be on the left side.
Yeah.